Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Really?
I'll be fine, yeah.
All right. Well, please don't.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Star. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha ha. The. Podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
Woo! The podcast, episode 270. What's up, it's your boy, the Ted Smith. I'm going to be hosting this here podcast, the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
To the left of me, actually, he's to the right of me. He's always here unless he's somewhere in Southeast Asia on two wheels. He goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
The Nikkei rose today while domestic markets tumbled amidst concern of a rising trade war in the East. Oil slid lower as domestic production increased while fracking continued to drive higher production in West Texas. Shares the podcast stable as traders take vacation and book profits heading into the fall. Will hoodie and dip season pan out for the boys? We'll talk about it at 5.
Oh, all right, all right. All right, back there on the wheels of steel, getting everything all set up, getting the headphones for everybody as we have a guest in tonight, Matt Conner, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted.
How you doing?
Fantastic.
I knew you would be. Cobb and Matt are obviously very excited. They're just coming off a meltdown weekend, which I missed because I was a pain in the grass, but I know we'll talk some meltdown. I'm sure you guys had a great time. Also, we'll say thank you to everybody that said LARP on or mentioned the podcast, The Pain in the Grass. A lot of people were asking for you, too, but I told them they're in the woods having fun.
Yeah, I mean, some would say excited, some would say battered, bruised, and broken, but it was a long, enjoyable weekend.
Yeah, the smiles don't say battered.
Yeah.
No. You both have like the permagrid style. I was like, I think they had a good time.
Yeah, we had an awesome time.
All right, so before we get to festival stuff, we have our old buddy, Tylen. Now I'm just screwing up your name.
Jesus.
Yeah, you want to just say what your name is so I don't screw it up?
This is Tylen. Tylen Hammonds, guys.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
T-Rex Hammonds.
T-Rex Hammonds. Obviously, a friend of ours, you've been in here before, undefeated.
Remaining undefeated.
Defending.
Well, challenging for a vacant title this weekend.
All right, so Saturday, Cage Fort MMA down at the Emerald Queen Casino. Hope to see you down there, doors open, or the event starts at 7, I think doors open at 6. Right, so the guy you're fighting, you beat him, what, back in December?
Yeah, he was actually the last person that I fought. I took about a 6-month layoff or so, you know.
All right.
And
is that typical?
No. We can get into that if you guys want to talk about
it. Did you get married?
No, I didn't.
Oh. Tylen, sorry. Should I not have asked?
No, it's fine.
Easy, Ted.
This is totally, I'm 100% fine on this now, but yeah, so the last time we talked, I said that I was going to be taking a layoff. I think I said that, going to be taking a layoff because I had an engagement and I was getting married, and I got to about 2 months or a month and a half before that wedding, and we broke up, so that wedding never happened. I'm not married, but I did take the layoff.
All right, all right. So you were taking a layoff because there was plans, and then, well, that's why, like, I just connected the dots. Like, oh, wait, I think I know he was taking off, but I obviously didn't keep up with your social a ton, or maybe should have asked Drew a question or two. So, single, looking to challenge for a strap. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I don't even know. You know what? I'm going to leave your personal life out of this interview from now on. Mr. Hammonds. I don't know that we've had a more awkward start to this here podcast.
I wish people could see Cobb's face right now.
Well, because I was debating, do I jump in and save him, or just like, he's so fun to watch.
Oh.
Dudes, all right, so Talon, since we last had you in, first of all, you look like you weigh less than the last time we saw you. Are you adding a lot of muscle, or did you drop down a weight class or something?
I did not drop down a weight class. I'm certainly leaner than the last time you saw me. I've got the same strength coach. We've been working together a little bit longer now.
Because you look considerably stronger, especially from the back when you're walking into the kitchen.
Yeah, thank you. I have noticed, honestly, I've put on a significant amount of muscle. I'm considerably stronger than I was 6 months ago, 8 months ago.
Nice. Okay. And you fought this guy before. I mean, let's just get right down to it. Like, how is he a good fighter? What are you viewing as like the major challenges with him? Is he a knockout threat, or is this just, you know, you feel like things will go in your favor like they did last time?
There's no way for me to answer this question without sounding like an asshole, so I'm just going to do it. Kevin nice. Boehm is a wild man with knockout power. He throws heavy shots with his hands, and he marches. He loses his stance a lot because he marches and throws bombs.
Does marches means like walks people down? Is that what you mean?
I mean that when he gets going, he will step southpaw, step right-handed, step southpaw, step right-handed, and he'll basically walk. Yeah, so he's walking people down.
And is he sort of a high-pressure fighter, or does he sit back and pick his spots?
I think he's I would call him a blitz-style fighter.
Just the full blitzkrieg.
Well, and he's already said, like, he has
fighting, not moving, and then he blitzes in, sorry.
No. But right, he's already made it clear. Like, he doesn't want to go into the deep water with you.
No.
He wants to go in there and try to knock you out in the first
overwhelm?
Round.
Yeah.
Did he say something? I assume that he would
want
to
knock me
unconscious.
We had him on 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Just kidding.
I would assume that he would want to knock me unconscious. If I were him, that would be the only thing I'd be thinking about, because realistically, there is not a lot of other options for him to win.
He said, quote, "My prediction is that on this fight is that I'm going to finish Talon before the championship rounds, and I'm going to expose the holes in his game."
Championship rounds? So this is a five-rounder?
Yeah, this is a five-round fight
Jesus.
For a title.
That's what I said. I don't think he's even like, I think he's just that kind of fighter, though. He's just like, yeah, I'm going to come out and punch him.
That is deep water.
What he means by expose the holes in my game, I'll put this out there really quick. He's too dumb to beat me. I already know what he's thinking. This is silly. He thinks he's going to knee me in the head because I shot a whole lot of takedowns the last time we fought, and every single one of them was successful, and every time we were on the ground, I dominated him. So in his mind, he has to knock me out, and in his mind, it has to happen on the shot because he can't really clip me standing. He'll try to
because
time
of
the
reach,
shot.
Or what?
Not because of reach, a style difference.
Okay.
I'm sure he can land. It's not that he can't, but it's really hard for him to deal with the pressure of my strikes while also having to deal with thinking about if I'm going to take him down. It's easier for me because I'm not worried about him taking me down. And if I were him, I would either spend all of my time working on takedown defense, or I would spend my time learning to time a knee on the shot. Because those are the only two ways he has a chance at winning. And because he's been calling for a knockout, I believe I know that he's going to attempt to either throw a knee on the shot or fake and hit a flying knee.
Are you thinking similar to like that Masvidal knee?
Yeah, jump
what's
up
that guy's
knee in the head
name who
stuff.
He was fighting in that? Ben something?
Masvidal fought Ben Askren, yeah.
Yeah, that was a crazy knee, man. Ted, did you see that?
Yeah, but I think that was the start of the fight. He came out there.
Yeah, yeah.
What you're saying is like he just expects that when you go in for a shot, he's going to deliver that blow.
Yeah, I believe that he'll try to knee me in the head.
Yeah. Did he get you? Did he land any good punches on you the first fight?
No, I had some weird injuries after our first fight, though. I had either a minor fracture in my foot or a sprain from kicking him, and I had this weird horizontal line across my bicep, like maybe I had torn my bicep. I don't believe I had any real injuries or damage from the fight with him.
You won't want to hear this as the fighter, but as somebody that watches fights, I like watching a guy that wins. Like, I already ate one. He's a little bloody.
Yeah.
Like, those are always good fights. I know you don't want to get touched up, but I'm like, he's earning this one.
That one with Drew, when he was all bloodied, and I might have been the other guy's blood now that I think about it.
Was it at Cageport?
Yeah.
So when he choked him out from behind, or not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the other guy's blood.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what would you say is your sort of like, not your game plan for this, but your game in general? Like, what are you known for? You know what I mean? Are you, your style?
I think right now I'm known for taking people down and smashing them on the ground.
So ground and pound?
Yeah, I think if you were to watch just my first four pro fights that I've put on so far, you would think that I am a good wrestler with good conditioning who beats on people. Realistically, I have a full game. I have a well-rounded game. I'll fight anywhere that I need to. It's just been too easy lately to keep taking people down.
Hey, I mean, look, if you're good at it, why not?
I see no reason to stand in front of someone who can't stop me from taking them down. If I fight someone who can, then I will deal with that when it comes.
Yeah, why take the damage, especially if you're looking for a long career, you know?
Exactly. I'd like to fight until I'm, you know, in my late 30s. I'd like to be one of those guys if I can be.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Brady. Yeah. Stop eating those nightshades. like we said, Talon's fighting Saturday down at Cage Sport MMA. Please come down, say what's up. So we always get into the fighter stuff with you. We know what your plan is now. You said you had a list of foods you're looking forward to eating when this fight is over. Can we hear some of the list?
And for what it's worth, last time he was in, Ted, Matt, and I were all going on and on about food like we always do on here. And finally it occurred to us like, oh yeah, this man has not eaten in 3 days. Maybe we should shut the hell up about it. So anyway.
He's got coffee in him.
Yeah,
he's good.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this time, yeah, we asked ahead of time. He said he's got a list, so.
Oh, I have a habit of keeping a list of foods that I like desperately want to eat that I can't eat, and then I try to get them in right after the fight. And I used to have a habit of like keeping like a squirrel stash of junk food, but that doesn't work because you start visiting the stash, so it's better just not to have it and make a list. What's on my list?
The squirrel
right now?
Stash.
Savvy veteran.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's in there? You learn what you can and can't do. I can't keep a stash of junk food without visiting it. Let's see. I want chicken and waffles. That's going down first.
Nice.
I'm after those cronuts. That is a croissant.
Do they sell
those? A donut.
I still haven't had a cronut.
Same.
Yet.
Do they sell them in Tacoma?
They have legendary donuts. Legendary.
I knew it was going to be that spot.
Yep.
They have them.
One in Tacoma, and there's one in Covington that I visit a lot. Well, not.
They got one in Issaquah now too.
Hmm.
Yeah, by Issaquah Cafe.
Yeah, legendary, man. Honestly, like I've had a few of their donuts. They're solid.
Yeah. And I'm on some pokey because I haven't had rice in a minute, but I want to have a big pokey bowl or just go and get just a load of sushi. And I'm after ice cream cake. That's probably the last thing on my list right now.
All right. I mean, I know I don't want to speak for the whole podcast, but like, what's your beef with pizza?
Fair. Oh, you caught me there.
I was wondering the same thing about pancakes.
There's one more food on the list. It's not just pizza. It's a specific pizza. There's a, I can't remember the name of it. I'd give them a shout out if I could. There's a place in Auburn, Washington that sells Indian style pizza. And people keep telling me how delicious it is. Like
tiki masala pizza?
Yeah.
You're talking about?
Or is it like on naan bread?
It's not on naan bread, which was disappointing to hear because I have made pizzas on naan bread and it comes out awesome. But apparently you can get like, what is it, tiki marsala or chicken tandoori.
Tandoori chicken?
Tandoori chicken pizza. Yep. And so I'm really excited to try that. I haven't had it yet.
There's a good place in West Seattle that's like a, well, it's a cool bar, but it's also an Indian restaurant, Maharaja. But if you go in there on Saturday or Sunday, the little buffet goes till 3. But you can sit in the bar and like watch a game, have a beer, and then go over and get the food.
I love it. Actually, there's a good Indian buffet in downtown Tacoma too on Pack Ave. I can't think of the name, but it's Pack Ave and like, oh shoot, what's that? I don't know. Right by the office, the bar, or the Forum. It's on the same street as the same block as the Forum.
Just for us here and our listeners, settle an argument. What's better, pancakes or waffles?
How dare you, Ted?
We had this conversation. Oh, you were here. All right.
I wasn't sure if that was you or not.
Waffles are on my list right now, but that doesn't change my answer. Pancakes are
this is how it started. All right.
Pancakes are the bread and butter of breakfast foods.
Ow! 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 That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you can't make any of them without eggs, though.
They're a workhorse, man.
It's true.
Fats chicken and waffles in Seattle is pretty good, too.
I haven't been there yet, either. I really want to go there.
Yeah, it's awesome. Matt and I have been there. Me and the mayor have been there. And then they have some lemon pepper wings that are fire.
Did I already tell you? Apparently, there's an all-you-can-eat waffle spot in the market, Pike Place Market.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I feel like all-you-can-eat waffles is a
dangerous game. It's like at that motel we stayed at.
Yeah, like how many waffles are you really going to pound down?
Dude, at that motel, I probably made 6 Belgian waffles throughout the course of it. No, probably 3, but I feel like I just liked them so much.
All right, another question I have for you personally. In the summertime, do you bother wearing shirts? And you're a sculpted, shredded man.
Specimen.
I was just going to ask him. I was like, if I was him, you wouldn't catch me in a fucking shirt.
Save money on shirts.
Yeah.
No, I do not. I'm wearing a shirt right now only because we're indoors and I don't want to offend people, but I generally don't wear them.
Yeah, you shouldn't. I wouldn't. I'd be strolling around, cronut in one hand, waffle in the other, shirtless.
Say something.
Right?
Knee you in the face.
I'll take it down. Take it down.
Just imagine what that feels like, Ted, getting kneed in the face. Like, think about when you're just, like, wrestling, playing around with someone, something, like, accidentally glances you in the face. Now imagine, like, an intentional knee to the face. Like, how hard that is.
Yeah.
And his whole femur is behind that, and behind that is his hip.
Yeah.
Oof.
I mean, that's the other thing, too, right? Because most sports, like, if you're hitting a baseball, you generate your power through your hips. Like, a lot of sports, like, you generate all that power through the hips. So, you're right. I never really thought about that way, but right. He's coming all the way through, and that is just...
Yeah, and like the outside of your knee is so sharp, too.
All the way through. Well, that's what makes... I'm going to stop, but we've had this conversation. That's what Muay Thai is so devastating. Just the elbows and knees. You're just like, holy cow.
Yeah.
If you want to really rock your world, look up some Lethwei fights.
Lethwei? Lethwei. L-E-T-H?
L-E-T-H-W-E-I. Lethwei.
Yep, adding it to the notes.
Just imagine Muay Thai, but bare knuckle, and they allow headbutts.
No.
Oh, the tactical headbutt.
Wow.
Ted and I actually took a short class on tactical headbutts.
Yeah. Have you seen the bare knuckle boxing? What is that, in Wyoming?
They did a bare knuckle boxing show here in Washington, if I'm not mistaken.
No kidding.
I think it was a different promotion, but I haven't got to go to one live.
Whew. Yeah, that one, I like the idea, but I'm just like, man, that is brutal.
I like the idea, too. W-E-I.
W-E-I. Oh,
my bad, guys.
Where are those fights out of?
The Lethwei fights?
Yeah. Burma.
Burma, yeah.
No kidding. Looked it up? I was like, Matt, you're on top of this, man. Burma.
Shout out to Google.
We actually used to have a Burmese guy at the gym who had been competing in Lethwei fights since he was like 10 years old, I think he said. Dude was crazy.
That is wild.
You had to like talk him into wearing his mouth guard.
Yeah, I mean, I knew a guy that used to fight overseas in like different countries, and that was always his thing. He's like, it's tough here, man. There's so many rules and this and that. He's like, I just want to go scrap.
Trying to gouge a man's eyes out.
Yeah, right? Like, I can't even kick him when he's down. All right.
Dude, there's this one fight series. Oh, man. Right? What's it called? It's like a mix of like Trailer Park Boys meets the UFC, and it's so good. I wish it's like... Talon, do you know the name of every chance? It's like a backyard fight series.
Wait, are you talking about Rough and Rowdy?
Sounds amazing.
No, dude, it's Street Beefs. Street Beefs on YouTube. It's so funny, man. It's really, there's some really good fights, too. I mean, not highly technical, well-trained fights, but fights that you're like, wow, I'm excited to see these dudes fight each other.
Good it fights feels if you like violence.
Yeah, good fights if you're like, you know, like in like junior high or high school when there were like two kids who were going to have a fight and you were like excited about it.
Yeah.
It's like those. But yeah, they're really good. And they do like a pretty solid production around it. And it's just, yeah, dude, they built a little like backyard stadium that's just like spray painted wood paneling. Yeah, definitely. You can spend a good hour or two down that wormhole.
All right.
Have fun, everybody. Also, yeah, 12 Sips to Glory is really cool.
I've seen the YouTube Rough and Rowdy, which is just like random dudes boxing. They do in like West Virginia. I think that's all the Barstool guys set that one up.
Is it what kind of a arena or a venue?
They do it in like a bigger arena and stuff, but it's literally like headgear and like three rounds, but I think they're pretty quick rounds.
Oh, yeah. This is just particle like, board spray painted black like the boards of hockey.
I just clicked on it. Like, these guys are out. These dudes are out in the cut getting it.
Yeah. Oh, dude, yeah, exactly. They are out in the cut getting it. 100%.
With that said, I kind of want to watch this when we're done this.
Yep. It'll pull you in, man.
All right. So, Saturday, Saturday night, the fights, Emerald Queen Casino, Cage Sport MMA. Come on out. Watch our boy Talon get another W. And then you'll win the belt if you win this one, correct?
Which I'm honestly super excited for. My good friend, longtime training partner, Drew Brokenshire, held that belt for a long time, and it means a lot to me. If I am able to pull this off and win this title, it would be a big thing for me.
Yeah, let's bring it back.
Yeah. Yeah, Drew's a big fan and a good friend of the podcast. Matt and I were just having dinner with him a week ago.
We're going down to Lewis Sport on Saturday before this, right?
We need to talk about that after the cast.
All right.
A little bit of a ticket situation, so we need to figure that out.
All right.
All right, so you guys were at Summer Meltdown. Talon's going to hang out with us for a while. I mean, what do we got? What are the stories? I know you got something on your minds.
Dude, I mean, per usual, Summer Meltdown was awesome. It was a lot of fun, a ton of dancing. For whatever reason, there's way more attractive women up there now, so that was cool. Dirtwire crushed it. If you're not familiar with their music, I'd recommend. Other than that, I mean, the weather was beautiful. Obviously, the people were beautiful. It was all of our friends and stuff got to spend time together.
Did it rain Thursday?
I wasn't even there Thursday. I didn't get up till Friday. So,
all right.
Dude, Friday morning, we had a canopy over our tent, and it just started raining like monsoon levels, like sideways. You could hear it hitting all over the tent, coming in underneath the canopy. So much got on the top of the canopy that it collapsed onto our tent.
Oh.
Like, you just heard like a thud, and then I could just see the wall with the door on it just cave in. And then...
Were you in it?
Yes. This woke us up. Well, we weren't fully asleep, but, you know, we were laying there. And then, like, we open the door, unzip it, to see what the hell just fell on our tent. And, like, it's like, oh, there's the canopy, like, where this one of the side supports had broken in half. And... as I tried to like push it off of the tent, all the water that made it collapse just poured over the side into our tent and onto my Tyler and Joe's shoes.
Oh!
So I wore flip flops all weekend.
All right.
It was a ton of rain, and then as we like had to deal with that, it was still monsooning, and like Joe got out of his tent, what the hell's going on, and helped us like move the canopy over to the side and. Where everybody's just soaking wet within 3 seconds of standing outside. It was wild.
I mean, Cobb was there.
Yeah, I missed all that noise.
Yeah, there was the one year it was raining, and literally I got up, and Joe had like a two-bedroom tent. And the same thing, the canopies, like when we went to bed, the water just filled up, so eventually it flopped over. But it crushed half of the side of his tent. Like, thank goodness he wasn't in that half. And he never even woke up.
Yeah, I know. He sleeps like a log. Yeah, it was good, man. Also, a lot of our burner friends were up there, so we're hanging with them. Got in a good river walk. What band stood out to you, if any?
Man, I really liked Grammatic. I really liked Pigeons Playing Ping Pong. And I caught a little bit of the Acorn Project up on the Forest Stage. They're always cool.
I always liked them, too.
Yeah, I liked Closey a lot. That was a cool set. I just think, you know, there's moments where, like, I don't know how I feel about going out to dance. Like, I like letting it just kind of, like, happen to me where I just, like, can't contain myself. But I really enjoyed just, like, going up to the top of the amphitheater and, like, looking out and just kind of watching the madness as opposed to being a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's just, like, my age catching up with me or what. I've always liked sitting at the top of the amphitheater, but...
And it was set up the same way as last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's always been, but that's just my speed. Like, you're rare to find me in a pit, even at Pain. Right. I was in the pit for Marilyn Manson for like two songs. I was like, all right, we got to go up to the lawn. This is too much. Yeah. So, I mean, that's always been my thing. Plus, I will say, the way they set up that stage now, like last year during Bass Nectar, I went to the back and sat up on the hill. Like, some of the stuff, you can't even get a visual of how cool it looks if you're down there in the mix.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I did the same thing at a Tool show at the Gorge. Like, we had awesome tickets, right? Like right in front of the stage. But after a while, I was just like, all right, this is intense. I'm going to get a beer and set up on the hill. Then I was like, holy cow, there's all these lasers. I didn't even know were going on.
Yeah, because you can kind of see when you're sitting back, you get the perspective that includes the grandeur of the entire crowd watching these people perform, not just you 20 feet from a stage where you see a stage, you know? And so you get like the other piece of it, similar to like stadiums sometimes. And like with the Gorge, you have that big view and then the full amphitheater. That's how it was watching Robert Plant. You could just see all the people responding to what he was doing. It was really cool.
Talon, you ever go to a music festival?
I went a long time ago. I went to, what was it? I've been to Pain in the Grass and I've been to the Rockstar Music Festival that they put on.
Uproar? Mayhem?
Mayhem.
Yeah.
But I'm not a music festival guy. I've been to
yet. Stay open. That's what I'm saying.
Shaq goes. You can go.
Dude, Shaq does go. I saw that video of him front row just rocking out of that.
And he was at Tomorrowland over in like Belgium.
Really?
Yeah.
That's super cool, man. I have mad respect for Shaq. Like his big thing whenever he moves to a city is like to just do all the local events. Anything people ask him to do, he's like, yep, I'll come do it. I'll be there just to ingratiate himself to the city. He seems like he really genuinely enjoys his life.
Yeah, I was going to say, dude's really
Shaq? Living. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. He, I mean, obviously, everybody's got bad stuff, you know what I mean? Relationships or whatever. But, like, yeah, he seems like he thoroughly enjoys it.
Yeah.
And the funny thing, too, is, like, it's Shaq. Like, I've met him once in... take that back. I saw him once in person. I did not meet him. But there's no, like... there's no denying it's him.
Like, yeah, you're like, oh, is that... it could, might be, like, It's like, dude...
Right, he was surrounded by
it's fucking Shaq.
Right, he was surrounded by a bunch of people and stuff. And we were just like, "Is that Shaq?" Yeah, that's Shaq.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, who else could it be? If there was another dude this big, we'd know him.
Yeah, yeah, dude, 100%. I imagine that's probably how Andre the Giant was too. You know, big personality coupled with like just being massive. It's like,
well, because like yeah, there's no way you walk past that guy and think that he was somebody else.
Yeah,
no way.
Yeah, he stands out. Like I've walked past Def Leppard Shrimp and was like, "All right, that is him." But it took a second. You're like, maybe he's just a really tall white guy.
Yeah, tall white dude. He looks reasonably normal, you know?
Yeah. Whereas, like, Shaq, you're just like, he's so physically big and tall. You're just like, no, that's Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah. There's no, like...
I mean, also was an LSU game where he played college basketball. So
that's, dude, I would say the same thing, actually, weirdly, about Jay-Z. I saw him live at Austin City Limits, and he comes out on stage, he's by himself, no band, no backup, not really a lot of lights. There's just like an inflatable, a giant inflatable dog done by that one artist on stage, and that's it. And he gets like halfway into one song, and I was like, yeah, that dude's just undeniably a superstar. Like, it's pretty clear.
Yeah, he's not my favorite rapper, but when I saw him at the Key like 2 years ago or something, that was a really good show.
He was solo, and he crushed it. I was just like, yep, that dude's just, I mean, there's no denying, straight superstar. And yeah. You don't realize how many of his songs you know and love too. It was just endless, back to back to back to back.
Plus, you'll never walk past Jay-Z and not know it was him because he kind of looks like Joe Camel.
Yeah,
yeah,
you're not wrong.
Right, I know that joke's been going around for years, especially after that Sunshine video.
Oh yeah,
with the fish lens. But that, you know, Busta Rhymes was huge on that too. Have you seen what Busta Rhymes? What's going on with him?
No,
I think that guy's losing his mind. So he had some freak out like, a couple weeks ago in a gym or something, and like, he's basically like screaming at some woman and she's like, all right, like I didn't move your equipment or whatever. And he's freaking out. And then I guess he was boarding a plane. And when you're the last person on the plane, like generally people put stuff in the overheads. So I guess he feels like, well, that's my locker. Anyhow, it was like a whole huge commotion. Just like, dude, like chill out. Also like, look, I don't mind walking on the plane last, but like there's not going to be overhead space.
Yeah.
The airline should have made him check it.
Well, he's still Busta Rhymes.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's just a logistics issue though.
Hey, I'm with you.
Wait, wasn't he flying? You're Busta Rhymes and you're the last person on the plane? What's going on? Why isn't he flying like first class?
Charter, yeah.
What's going on?
I think he might have been in first class. I mean, maybe he's having drinking some Cavassier.
Like if I'm first class and there's no room for my bag, I don't know. What's like I'd be upset too. Where am I supposed to put my bag? I paid a lot of money.
Yeah, I feel like they should have room in first class everybody's bags.
Yeah, they got big lockers up there.
Maybe we're overestimating Busta Rhymes' net worth. Perhaps Busta has fallen on hard times.
I don't know. It's been a while since
rappers categorically are known to blow through money and not pay taxes. But there's also some rappers who, you know, hold on to it and multiply it.
Isn't Jay-Z a billionaire now?
Yeah. Of course, there's counterexamples. I'm just saying, there was like an era there of which Busta Rhymes was a part where a lot of rappers set a lot of money on fire.
Yeah. Well, Jay-Z said, money ain't a thing.
Like 50 Cent. He had Mike Tyson's old house, which by the way has 7 kitchens, lost it and then was in bankruptcy court and then posting photos on Instagram of piles of cash.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's just him trying to get around taxes. 50 didn't blow through all that money. Because then they went into court and were like, it's all fake money, we keep posting, blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying, I mean, you're a businessman. Life. There's people that will go into bankruptcy that aren't bankrupt.
That's 100% true. Yeah. As far as 50 goes, I don't know much about his life either. Actually, you know what? I do know about his life. That would be almost impossible for him to be bankrupt because he was an early guy in Glisso, which was bought by Coca-Cola for $400 million.
Yeah, he made... Right. I want to say he made like $250 off of vitamin water.
That's what, yeah.
And the formula, Formula 50, the grape stuff was awesome. I used to drink it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Busta Rhymes apparently is still at least worth $20 million.
All right. Well then, maybe he should be flying private.
Yeah, that's why he's still worth $20 million. He wasn't blowing it all on private jets.
Not a bad call.
All right, Cobb. Let's read some emails there.
All right. We got a bunch. What's up, guys? Today I was in a meeting and my boss said something along the lines of, we need to stay diligent in our work, and took every ounce of my self-control not to throw my fist in the air and shout, diligence, in the middle of my 20-person team meeting. I know you like to hear about how the podcast positively affects the lives of listeners, so I thought I'd share. Thanks for gifting the world with the greatest podcast in all the lands.
All the land.
Cheers, Phil the Laser Pointer. That's a pretty good one.
What's he going to do, fire you? Go for it, man.
Yeah, if anything, right, he's the boss. He thinks you're just backing his idea. He probably would have liked it.
That's a power move. Also, what does Phil do with lasers? Because I heard Aaron Cobb loves lasers.
And accurate.
After Meltdown, I could see why.
Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
With the question mark. Interesting. Just wanted to start with my guilty pleasure, and I have to say, stadium country music. The person I blame... Wait, what is stadium country versus regular?
It's like bro country.
Right. So like Florida Georgia Line?
Yep. Oh, okay. Yeah. Like big country.
Kenny Chesney.
Okay, yeah. Oh, I like Kenny Chesney. Okay. The person I blame for this is my wife. She's a massive fan. What's funny about it is Honky Tonk Badonkadonk is up there in my favorites. Now imagine it being sung in a Northern Irish accent. It's even funnier. Matt, I fired you that email and look forward to hearing back from you on what you have to say. Ted, I'll be waiting by the post box in hope. Also, can I get some motivational words as I'm going to attempt my second half Ironman the Saturday after this show goes out, and we'll need all the pumping up I can get. Stay classy. Ron.
I think Ron already completed that.
Yeah. Maybe almost 2 weeks old.
Yeah, I saw him. He was like, yeah, I got to stay in Friday night. Got another Ironman thing coming up. And I was like, good luck, mate.
That's intense. Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
By the way, real quick. So he lives in Northern, he lives in Belfast, right?
Yes.
He's a Northern Irish person. So he hit me up, right? I met him. We were talking about soccer and American football. So now he's picking a college team. And he said, can I pick Ohio State? So I said, look, I don't like Ohio State, but I said, that's a solid team to pick, right? Because number one, they're going to be on TV. So he'll be able to see them. I was like, year in and year out, they're pretty consistent and good. I was like, yeah, I think Ohio State's a safe pick if you're just going to pick a college team.
Dude, I mean, you know where I'm at. I had 3 roommates from Columbus, Ohio in college. So yeah, I'm go Buckeyes all day. Now, granted, I'll hear the argument that Michigan is better in virtually every other category, but Ohio State does have the better football program, in my opinion, and it's the greatest rivalry, arguably, in sports, Michigan-Ohio State. So, yeah, I think Ohio State, good pick.
Yeah,
and you're going to get a couple national championship runs,
Right, and that's the thing, too, is let's think about it for him, right? He's not getting regional coverage. He's got to watch ESPN. I'm like, you'll see an Ohio State game.
Yep. Yeah.
That was part of the reason I picked Arsenal originally was is this English club going to be on TV? Now they're all on TV because of NBC Sports. But at the time, it was am I going to be able to see my team play?
Yeah, go Buckeyes, baby. Smart.
Yeah, I can't get down with that.
But. And they got a local guy, G. Scott Jr., going out there.
Do you take Michigan in that rivalry? Or?
I do. Okay. I just don't like Ohio State. But also, Ron, if you're going to buy a jersey, oh, man, I'm blanking on his name. Ohio State defensive lineman. Their best defensive lineman. Yes, he's going to be play in the NFL. You'll know his name. Chase Young, DeMatha guy.
Dude, what was that guy who... this is too long of a story. Doesn't matter. Well, dude, yeah. I'll tell you after. Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
I was depositing some checks in the BECU ATM today, and while the transaction was processing, I noticed one of the images on the screen was of Cobb wearing an apron with a shelf of popcorn bags in the background. I had to do a double take and thought to myself, damn, Cobb, you hustle so hard you even show up on my ATM. Cheers, boys, and LARP on. Yeah, man, Operation Popcorn Inception is in full swing, Colin.
Yeah, we've got a few of those. Yeah. People keep hitting on my Twitter.
Yep.
Hey, boys. Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Cue Matt and Ted. So awesome and to hear you guys will be going home this year. And they have a little Burning Man symbol. Hell yeah, dude. Pumped. Wolfpack will be 9:15 and G this year. Hope you guys can come down and join the pack for some day drinking shenanigans. I myself will be teaching a stained glass workshop Monday to Friday at noon. As far as Cobb topic, I'm pretty open about the music that I listen to, and I get the fact that I look like a hippie with this long hair, but people are always surprised when I tell them my favorite music is punk. NoFX has been my favorite band since I first heard them when I was 10, and I felt like this music understood my teenage anger and dislike for mainstream society. Come to think of it, this might explain why I feel so at home in the desert. Haha. Anyway, as always, Dusty Hugs. Shine the Wolf from the Great Dusty Plains. P.S. Don't you boys go slacking on those white outfits either. PPS, I like Happy Meals.
PPS, Happy Meals.
What day is the white day? The
Wednesday?
White,
what?
Okay.
Right?
White? Yeah, okay. Cool. Greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
I wanted to recommend shower chairs to you guys. Portable chairs with non-slip grips on the legs. I can find them in any old person section of the stores or cheap online.
Ooh.
I've used mine for shaving or just too tired to stand up in the shower. LARP on.
I feel like I would lose half an hour just in a shower, sitting in a chair, drinking a beer on like a Saturday.
Honestly, that's the best part. I grew up with a shower chair in there. My brother and I put one in our shower because we would always just, you know, I always sit in the shower. I feel like showers are an underrated part of any person's home. You guys have heard my speech, but it's a heated waterfall in your freaking house of clean, unadulterated water. Use, abuse your shower. I'm pro shower chair.
Yeah, and like in the wintertime when it's cold, hot shower is great. This time of year, I like a cold shower.
Yep.
And then it's like, feeling sick? Maybe I'll take a shower. Yeah. Feeling pumped. I'll take a shower. Yeah, showers are there for you.
Dude, yeah, I take like two or three showers a day, man. They're great. Why not? Just hanging out in the waterfall.
Dude, I'm serious. Like, showers are just, he's right. It's one of the simple pleasures that I love in life.
Yeah. Just saying, shower chair is absolutely getting used for sex. That is not sitting in your shower and not getting boned on.
Also notable, water is not a lubricant.
Good.
But it's fresh water.
To have.
As mm-hmm. opposed to having sex in a hot tub, which you shouldn't do.
Yes.
Or you should do it at least once.
Just
that's also fair.
Dry things out. You know what? What do I care? I'm not the one that... Yeah.
Girls have natural lubricant, guys. Shower sex is awesome.
Yeah, shower sex is awesome. And hot tub sex is okay, and you should do it at least once.
You could listen to him. He's a better looking man and a fighter. But I'm telling you, be careful with that hot tub sex.
Yeah. Ted, I'm in your boat.
I don't know. I got a yeast infection.
What? Jesus, dude.
I'm not getting a yeast infection.
You guys were discussing what dreams are last week, and I thought I'd put my two cents in. In normal life, our mind will wander, daydream, have intrusive thoughts, and fantasize. When even moderate amounts of consciousness are applied to these thoughts, they tend to diminish quickly, pretty much the core of meditation. Consciousness acts as a tether to rein in our naturally wandering mind. Dreaming is a state where those conscious tethers are not applied, and thus your mind is free to deeply wander from fantasy to morbid curiosity and to anxiety or happiness. I have no idea about the scientific validity of that, but it's what I was thinking when you guys were discussing. Also, horses have special locking joints in their knees. They can sleep standing or lying down. Thank you. They need to lay down when they require REM sleep or just to be comfy. Regards, Noble, a.k.a. the T-Town Tuber. A.K.A. Dream Wizard. A.K.A. Corgi Poppy.
Nice. I didn't realize horses could do both. I thought they laid down.
Any thoughts on the dream stuff?
I don't know. I was a little over my head.
I got you.
Sounded accurate. Noble generally knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, that's fair.
I was kind of nodding. I don't have anything to add.
Yeah, the only thing I know is that your mind is always trying to create a narrative with events that happened by laying on the facts with the emotions and joining them together. And I know when people experience trauma, those two do not properly join together. So the memories become very disjointed and they don't fit in to a narrative story arc of a day or a month or a life or whatever. So when those memories come back, they're sort of disassociated in little bits and pieces, which is sometimes what happens in dreams. So I'd be interested to see if dreams are somehow involved in that process of either getting rid of pieces of information that don't fit the narrative or helping to coalesce those two things together. But I have no idea. Don't say my name or whatnot. No problem. Howdy. I have answers to both the Cobb topic as well as the TED topic. For what job I'd have in the Wild West, it'd be the same as I'm doing now. Oldest profession there is. Working upstairs in Cobb's saloon. Is this a photo? I feel like this is a photo, but I'm scared to click that link. Yeah. And this is not my computer, so I'm not going to click it, but nice.
Do they just send a photo?
What?
Is it just a photo embedded in their email?
I don't know. You tell me what that icon denotes. I mean, it's your work computer. I'll click it if you want me to, but if we're going to crash the system, you know, I'd like to have an audio recording of you saying it's okay.
That's a pretty specific email for someone to be sending something.
Yeah, click it. Nothing's going to happen.
I know.
High-risk email, guys.
Well, what is this little guy?
I think that's an emoji. I don't think you can click on it.
Well, we're about to inspect this guy.
I honestly thought if they were working upstairs, maybe they sent a photo of what they looked like working.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what it looked like when you got up to go look at the computer.
That's what I was hoping.
Had a little pep in your step.
Yeah, I was
there,
like,
Ted.
Oh, this is going to be a random chicken fishnets.
Yeah, it's just a little go emoji. Okay. Matt, what did you say your Wild West profession would be?
Dude, I don't even remember.
How about you, Talon?
Gunslinger.
Gunslinger. There you go.
Gun for hire. For
I'll
sure.
Meet you at noon.
Shit.
Town Square.
That's what I said I'm doing, too. I don't know how good I'm going to be at it, but I'm going to be a tough one.
I'd probably be pretty bad. It seems like I'm one of those people that I need like a lot of practice. It's something to get good at it. And I feel like this is one of those things you have to be good at right away, but I'm still going to try it.
But I'm watching a show about the Old West, and I've learned it's just you just got to calm down, breathe, count their shots, right? Because nobody has a semi-automatic weapon. Everybody's got six bullets, and they're going to panic. They got somebody shooting at them, too, so they're going to shoot it over your head. I'm going to concentrate, put them down.
Zen.
Good Zen, plan. As I'm murdering.
Yeah.
Was it a job to just carry water back then?
Probably the water bearer.
That's probably what I'd be doing. I like farmer's carries.
Dude, yeah. I could see. I mean, metalsmithing would be cool.
I think getting water is just part of daily life. I don't think there was like a town guy that did it.
Yeah.
That sounds right. Well, I'd be really good at that.
Somebody could be a barber.
You still wouldn't have a
town job. I don't know. Yeah, I'm definitely saloon keeper. I like the line between like the underworld and the like, you know, the legal stuff. I like being the go-between. You know, you hear about the shady conversations that are going on in the bar, but there's also like, you know, the sheriff's coming in to drink after work or whatever.
Yeah.
Can help people get things.
You got any more over there?
For travel advice, I'd recommend finding a smaller airport to depart from when possible. It's always way less stressful and usually costs about the same. Speaking of which, Everett is now open. Painfield. Is Painfield the one up north?
Yep.
Painfield, but don't they only fly to like a couple places? Isn't it just like Portland? Do they fly to Vegas yet?
They're increasing their domestic flights. I know that Bellingham flies to Vegas because I've been on that flight, joined the Mile High Club on that flight. And
amazing.
I think they're going to start from Everett. I know they're increasing the number of flights out of there.
Do these count for the Mile High Club?
Not if you give them to yourself.
Okay. Now, what I was asking about Talon.
I mean, if you're in the bathroom and somebody else released you, I think that counts.
Well,
I mean, I don't know. I tried to count just masturbating in there, but everybody was like, no.
No, for sure.
Yeah, all right.
The official board denied your permit?
Yeah. Everybody's like, what happened? I was like, I was on a trip with a bunch of dudes and everybody had alone time. And then I opened up Sports Illustrated and there's a picture of a tennis player.
You couldn't ask a friend?
Phone a friend. All right, let's check in with Matt. See what's happening.
Hey, what's good? What's mad?
Whoa. Before we get to what's mad,
hey, what's good? What's mad?
Whoa. Check out what's mad.
Hey, what's good? What's mad?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's mad?
Whoa. Check out with what's maddening.
Well, I mean, I went to Meltdown. Kind of already talked about that. That was pretty much the whole weekend. It was a ton of fun. Shout out to Sal, first timer.
How'd he do?
He thrived, man.
All right, nice.
He came in on Thursday, and like within probably a half hour of him setting up, Tyler brought L wire, which is like a light up wire that you can just like put on anything. It's battery powered. And gave Sal one. So Sal had just discovered that L wire exists. And he just like, we're in the forest and some guy like complimented him on it or whatever. And so I was like, thanks, I invented it. And just like had the guy hook, line, and sinker who he wanted to invest and connect and do all these things. And I just come up to Sal a few seconds later and he just like, he just had this like look on his face and he's just like holding it up like, I just told this guy, that guy invented this and he bought it. Like, he wants to invest and connect and exchange emails. He's going to be disappointed later.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so he was cracking me up. And yeah, he's obviously been on the podcast. He does a Not Playing Stupid podcast and just came in hot and stayed hot and had a little incident where he didn't realize some of the cookies had been infused and were actually edibles and still thrived that night. Everybody was like, where's Sal? How's he ending up? I was like, has anyone checked his tent? I feel like he might be asleep.
He might just be in there sleeping.
Yeah, he wasn't. He was out thriving even then. So, yeah, he killed it, kicked ass.
That happened to me and Cobb one year. I had a buddy show up on, like, Saturday. I can't remember if we had, like, an edible or something, but we were camping out in the woods on the moss, and he was like, oh, I need to take a nap. And then literally he just slept. Like, we were at the main part, and we came back. It's like, yeah, he's just still in there sleeping, sawing logs. Weird festival experience, but hey, you got to get sleep where you get it.
It happens sometimes, yeah. I did not do very well with the sleep. It's just tough. People are talking, playing music all night. Like, and I, in years past, I feel like I've adjusted and like been able to get some sleep. Not that festival sleep's ever that great. And then the one night, it's usually, even if you fall asleep, you're going to wake up from blistering heat in the tent within 2 or 3 hours, the hours I stay up till. And then the one morning where it wasn't 1,000 degrees in the tent by 9 a.m., it was pouring rain and the canopy collapsed. So, yeah, that was a sleep situation. Talked about the shows earlier. I just like walking around, going up through the forest, up to the top, all the different places. Like, that's always my favorite part. I don't even need a destination. I'm just walking. And
yeah, I'm with you. Cruising around and hanging out in the beer garden are always my favorite things.
Yep. Yeah, I didn't spend a ton of time in the beer garden. Never really do. I didn't even get my wristband until Saturday because I was just like, why would I don't drink? What am I going to do in there? It's not even that good a view of the stage the way they have it set up now. With the old setup, it made more sense for me to go into the beer garden for the stage setup.
But
the way they have it now, like, yeah, I didn't even need to. So, yeah, it was a ton of fun hanging out with everybody. The river was as packed as I've ever seen it, as deep as I've ever seen it.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Huh. The little lake thing was massive, though, which is nice.
Like that bend that it used to be?
Way bigger.
That was deep again?
It was deep and big, like wide.
Nice. Yeah, and it was packed with people. It was wild. Yeah. Someone said on Instagram it was like 6 feet deep this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's Bacon Beach, right? Bacon Point. I mean, that's where it started.
It was going off. Yeah, so I just had a ton of fun. I saw one of my old friends from high school randomly on the first day and then ended up doing the river walk to Bacon Point with him. He just like popped out of the woods and was like, hey, what's up, Matt? And we just had a great talk. He does a form of physical training as well for a living. So we were just talking about how cool the body is. And he said he'd teach me how to backflip. He was like, can you backflip? And I was like, no. And he's like, yeah, you can. So I got to go figure that out. That's kind of like my goal between now and next Meltdown.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't want to bring it up, but it's kind of disappointing. You can't do that yet.
You're definitely athletic enough to do a backflip. You just got to just man up, grab your balls, and go for it.
Can you backflip?
Absolutely.
I can backflip on a trampoline. I don't know if I could do it just standing. Probably not.
Well, talk to me in a year. Because I like Meltdown because it's like an annual tradition. You can set goals. You can look back and reflect. You can plan ahead and You know, I like to kind of get ideas for what I've, you know, what I've got coming up in the next year while I'm there. And that was a big takeaway. Figure out how to backflip.
All right.
So I'll figure that out.
Excellent. Food?
Food. Let's see. Oh, we dressed up as fruits on Friday. Tyler made an awesome hat that had that lit up with all these different fruits on it. I went as a watermelon. I found this bitch in crop
top. Yeah,
Tyler
looked like a Chiquita banana woman.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That got a ton of compliments. And yeah, that was a lot of fun. The food, they didn't have the gyros this year. The acai bowl I had on Friday just like was exactly what I needed. The dumplings were good. What else did I get up there?
Let's see. I still say that's one of the best gyros I've ever had in my life. But also, I'd been partying for 2 days. I think I just needed to eat.
Well, that's how they get you. But yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I was a little disappointed.
I got a gyro guy.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed with that one. Tyler had a kebab. I didn't have any of that. And then I had some dumplings and some poutine. They had a poutine truck this time.
Ooh, and I like that.
That was super good. And then, you know, brought the pinwheels, the chips, those coconut bites from Costco. Pretty usual stuff down at camp.
Classic stuff.
Yeah, it's a great year.
Awesome.
How was Pain in the Grass?
Pain was good, man. Saturday was a lot of fun. What did we do? We went up like the whole. We went up and checked out the top part. They have that little bar at the top of White River now. That's pretty cool. I think a lot of people think it's a VIP bar or whatever. It's not. You just can't bring your kid in there, but they serve like booze up there and stuff. So we walked up there, and then we had the Palace backstage thing. Bones UK. That band was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That I don't know.
They were there last year too.
Yeah, I don't know that. For Pain in the Grass, if everybody got it yet, and it was during the day, but listen to some of their stuff. You'll like it. And their videos are gangster.
Did you catch Woodshed?
I did not. I didn't see them. I know. What else did I see? I saw the Beards Band, Pound.
Yeah.
That was intense, to
right?
say the least.
Those guys are awesome.
And then Marilyn Manson, like, his band sounds awesome. Maybe this is just how he does his shows. He just doesn't look like he gives a shit. Like, he's just kind of strolling around. But then somebody else told me, like, that's just kind of how he does his show.
Every time I've seen him, that's how it's been.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I saw Slipknot last week, too.
Yeah.
That was
I will say, the Zombie, I'm not the biggest Zombie fan of their music, of his music, but that dude puts on a show. Like, the lights and everything, like, it looked awesome.
White Zombie or Rob Zombie?
Well, White Zombie is Rob Zombie's band. So, I mean, just, I don't know.
Is it Rob Zombie.
Is it Rob Zombie? Yeah, I was like, I don't know. It's just Zombie.
Got it.
Can't have one without the other.
Keep it simple. Just go right. That they
like,
share.
I don't know if he's with his band right now or it's just him. It's Zombie. You've seen a Zombie show, you've seen them all. All right, let's check in.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, boop. Cob topic.
The cob topic this week, I was thinking about while I was walking in, and I'm a little worried because I think people's answers will be long. So try to keep it short, like reasonably succinct. But I feel like, you know, as we go through life, there's a lot of like little like, I don't know, little insights that people have individually. They develop little theories around, and no one has the time to go out and like prove them statistically, you know, but it's just something you're like, wow, I just kind of like, I know that, but there's no way for me to prove it. So the cop topic this week is, what is your one weird theory? Feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com, or hit Matt up on the Twitter machine at thepodcast. What is your one weird theory? It can be about you. It can be about life. It can be about your city, sports, the ocean, the trees, anything.
You looking at me?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. No, I mean, like, I always bring up, like, the CIA and the drug stuff, but I don't think that one's a weird theory. I think it's pretty simple that it happened in the 80s.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not big into chemtrails or any of that kind of stuff.
I've got a weird theory, but it only really pertains to myself.
That works.
All right.
This is actually statistically validatable. The only two fights I ever lost happened while I was an amateur, and they both happened when my sister was not in attendance. My sister has attended every other fight I've ever been in, and I've won all of them. She also missed the first round of the only fight I had as a pro where I lost the first round. So I believe now that I have never lost a fight where my sister was in attendance. I've never won a fight where she was not. And I think that she is somehow responsible for all of my wins and therefore has to be in the crowd for every fight because I cannot possibly even lose a round if she's there, but I can't seem to win one if she's not.
Dang. It's an older sister, younger sister?
Older sister.
All right.
What's her schedule like? We might be going to the top of the UFC now.
I just tell her if I have a fight, you got to take whatever you got going on off. You
seriously.
All right, that's my next question. Like, does she have like a husband? Like, is he cool with it? Or do they like watching fights?
My brother-in-law watches the kids when she comes to my fights.
All right.
So it keeps her schedule open for fights.
Nice.
And perfect. I pretty much told her a little while ago, like, I might have to leave the country and go fight in Canada sometime soon, or I might do this or that. And she was like, I'll get the special license or whatever if I have to go to Canada. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, just get a passport. Like, the enhanced ID helps, but eventually you're just going to need those passports.
I believe we all need to get the enhanced ID now.
I think that's
their new little thing.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They want our DNA, man.
What if she just watches on TV? Would that work, or she's got to be in person?
I think she has to be there.
All right.
I have no way of knowing if that would work or not.
Not when you want to play around with.
Yeah, I don't play with
it. If you get a televised fight.
Dice rolling with your life.
Yeah, statistically, it's 100%, so I'm just not going to change the formula.
I guess the one that's kind of weird, and it's not, I mean, it's, I don't know how to prove it, but I saw it on a TED Talk. And basically, it was just like, if you have goals, stop saying them out loud.
I thought you were supposed to start
two schools
saying
of
them
thought.
Out loud.
Yep.
So I'm of the theory that you shouldn't constantly say them out loud, because your brain tricks you. So they took like control groups, right?
You're talking about saying them to other people.
Right? Saying them to other people, right? You could say it out loud to yourself and stuff. But when you say it to other people, they took these two groups that were going to run a marathon. One group told everybody they were going to run a marathon. The other group didn't. But the group that told everybody, they had much less, the amount of people that actually ran it was much lower.
Adherence rate.
Right, because their brain had already kind of tricked them. People said, that's good for you, man. Like, you're working hard, blah, blah, blah. So it kind of gave them a false sense of like accomplishing something without doing it.
Oh,
I could see that varying on an individual level, because I ran my mouth like a motherfucker about how I was going to work at KISW and do the overnight show back like 10 years ago.
Right.
So, and I think, you know, that kind of plays into, you know, the law of attraction or whatever you want to call it, which, Cobb, I was thinking about this weekend, and I think you kind of recognize both schools of thought, where there's stoicism, where it's like, hey, think about the worst possible scenario so that if it happens, it's probably not going to, but you will be prepared. But then there's this other, like, manifest good things with positive vibes and self-affirming thoughts and stuff. And I feel like the last 5 to 10 years, I've been kind of balancing those two schools, and I'm not sure exactly. I just wanted to get your take on it.
Well, yeah, all right, I was going to give a little bit about, with Ted's thing, in the field of psychology, there's two different thoughts, which is there's a confirmation bias, which is that we continue to behave how people expect us to behave, generally speaking. Not confirmation bias, Jesus, it's called consistency bias. Sorry, I was thinking about your other question. A consistency bias. I think it's personal, but I'm with Ted. I feel like when I don't tell people something I'm going to do, I'm much more likely to accomplish it versus telling people and getting that dopamine and serotonin rush and then not caring. But for some people, they have such a drive and desire to stay consistent with what they said they were going to do that it works well for them. So on that, I would say results inconclusive on an individual basis. Figure out which one works for you and stick with that.
I think also it depends. Like, the KSW thing was a much bigger, massive thing. So, I mean, like, there's goals like that I wouldn't mind talking about, or, you know, like, I used to tell people, like, oh, I'm going to be famous one day for this or that. But I'm just saying, for, like, things like working out or running a marathon, stuff like that, okay, I prefer not to tell people.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I feel like it holds me.
I did no-show two Spartan races, but.
Damn. Did you tell people about them?
One was the day after our Halloween party. I made an executive choice at 3 in the morning.
So the other, as to your other thing, as far as like the law of attraction versus, you know, stoicism, it's really interesting because there's a lot of evolutionary psychology that points to the fact that our cerebral cortex is overburdened by information. And so it has to be really choosy. So what you focus on, because we're hunters at the end of the day, becomes your world. You're blocking out all information that doesn't pertain to what your goal is, you know, like, e.g., taking down an elk with your bare hands or whatever. So you're filtering for information that's pertinent to that goal. So that's kind of what the law of attraction stuff is related to. I think that there's some pseudoscience in there, but generally speaking, focusing on stuff brings you closer to it because we slowly move towards what we're aiming at, just because, you know, we're predators. So that's what I would say on that. As far as the stoicism stuff, I'm more of a, like, what's that called? A Wu Wei, you know, like the more like Taoist idea of, you know, life being a flowing river and being a little bit more accepting and patient and, you know, not comparing your today to who are you, like, to who somebody else is today, but comparing yourself to who you were yesterday and that. So, yeah, as far as stoicism versus law of attraction, tough to say, man. I mean, it's really philosophical at a certain point, but I think they both have their place.
Okay, thanks. That's true. My theory is white lighters are bad luck. In high school, I used one for the first time, smoking cigarettes down the parking lot, got suspended, and then I never used them again until one time I was snowboarding and I was on a chairlift, and it was all that the guy that I was with had, and I said, what's the worst that could happen? And I broke my wrist on that run.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah, I'm with you. I've only used white lighters.
Yeah, I'm same way.
Yeah, it's just like an old school thing.
Yeah, totally. My weird theory, I think that people age at vastly different rates. And I feel like with how sore my body has been lately and how much tighter it is, I feel like I am aging faster than other people. That's my weird theory.
I don't know why that's funny. Hey, look, whether you're young or aging rapidly, you're going to enjoy the fights. K-Sport MMA, Saturday night, 7 o'clock kicks off the fights. Our buddy Talon Hammond's going to be in there. He's going to win a belt for the 145 championship. Be nice
and
to have a
cast. Sir.
And for the cast.
Bring
get
one
that,
home.
Let's get that thing back.
Get that strap.
Hopefully we see you down there. If not, we'll be back next week. And then basically, you know what? The new system doesn't let us do some things. So, hey, happy Wednesday.
Nice.
This comes out hot and fresh. You get it. It's like the Megacast now, bitches. All right, there you go. There's episode 270 for MCTP. For Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.